Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another fantastic Legacy Builders series episode of Hand and Footprint. I am your superstar host, Miss Ricky R. Jones. Yes, I said it, and I'm proud to say it because I am a superstar in my own right, in my own mind. You love it. I love it. We're enjoying it. I'm so glad that you're here on this beautiful Saturday morning, and you're out and about, and you're taking time to listen. You could have been anywhere, and I appreciate that you guys are listening to me. I'm glad that we're getting to have the opportunity to talk to people who are truly building their legacy. Shout out to Mario, and I hope you guys checked out the Citizen Hub website today. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be even crazier because we have a fantastic – I mean, this lady is really – and I always say a lot of things about a lot of guests, and it is the honest to God good gravy truth. I'm so appreciative of people and their craft and their gift and them walking in their purpose and their spirit and doing what they're supposed to be doing, what God gave them to be able to do. And this young lady is really, watch out when we say the name today. I mean, keep your eyes open and keep your ears open because I'm telling you, this lady is really something. But like I said, I'm so glad you guys are here. I'm so glad that you are choosing to be here with me and celebrating this whole legacy series here. And the number to call in is 347-826-9723, 347-826-9723. Make sure that you want to press the number 1 if you want to speak to our guest. If you guys are listening online, because I see some of our folks are already on the Hand and Footprint page listening in, I'm so glad about that. If you guys want to send me a message to pass on to our guest today, by all means, go to the Facebook page, Hand and Footprints, What is Your Legacy? Shoot me a message, and we'll do it that way. Or if you want to shoot me a message via Blog Talk Radio, that's even great as well. But like I said, we're continuing with this series of folks who are doing their legacy, you know, leaving their legacy, making an impression. And we all can do it. The first thing we have to recognize is that we have talent and we have something to offer. And then the rest, you know, it works out for itself. And you just go from there. So I'm not even going to tell you. I'm not even going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to let this lady tell you about her story. But before we get into her story, I want to tell you about what's in her biography. So Tiffany Yancey is best known for her role as Laura Cowan in the Investigation Discovery show House of Horrors. Now, those of you who are into all the different shows, and I love the Discovery show anyway. I just love that particular channel. If you haven't seen it, you definitely have to see because this particular episode was absolutely amazing. Most recently, her first independent film, make sure you check it out, Love Him or Leave Him, which she wrote, co-produced, and she stars in. I'm telling you, that's what we're talking about, this whole triple threat and just being all involved in what you do. She was honored with the Robert Anthony Award for her contribution to the film industry. Now, Tiffany's acting journey began after she graduated from Temple University right here in Philadelphia with a bachelor's in arts and communication in 1997. She moved to the Washington, D.C. metro area. She studied her craft with renowned acting coaches, Professor Vera Katz of Howard University and Woolly Mammoth Theater, on-camera training with Brenda McDonough, and sharpened her comedy skills. Now, I'm telling you, she really is funny. You have to catch the comedy act, too. At the D.C. Improv and Jokes on Us Comedy Club, she blazed the local D.C. theater circuit, honing her craft by landing numerous acting jobs throughout the area. Theater credits include principal roles with One State Production, Chevy Chase Prince George's Theater, and in off-Broadway shows with TSI and New York City Players and 440 Studios in New York. TV and film credits also include extra and principal work on the critically acclaimed show HBO's Wire, feature film Ladder 49, and reoccurring role as ever-so-feisty Lucinda King in the hit local soap opera Snowden Crossing. She co-starred in the well-received indie film called Split Second, directed by Timothy Fontaine, where she won the Best Supporting Actress Award, the Entrepreneurs on the Move Awards in Los Angeles. Tiffany most recently started her own company called April Rain Productions, which she writes, produces, and stars in her own movie projects that tell, that basically tell the story from a woman's perspective. And so often we don't really get that, and I'm telling you that that is really so crucial. Her first film, which is Love Him or Leave Him, and I'm telling you, I've seen it, and from seeing it made me want to say, okay, we need to have this conversation. It's out there. She's getting ready to, it's been here. It's been shown in Philadelphia, so now she's doing the circuit. And those of you who have a car and want to travel, it's going to be in the D.C. area. Hey, it's nothing but a train ride and a car ride away. You have to go and see it. But I'm going to stop running my mouth, and I'm going to bring on Tiffany.
Hello.
Good morning. How are
Good
you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm like, wow, who's she talking about? She's talking about me. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah,
I'm talking about you, bro.
I'm talking about you because I'm telling you, that's what the – when I saw your movie – And you did the whole you and your and the phenomenal actors and actresses that you have participating in the movie, and your you know, your co-producer as well. When you guys were talking, and the fact that you wanted to bring this particular movie out and from a woman's perspective, and so often we really don't get that, and especially women of color, we really don't hear someone tell our story. Because I mean, really, as women first, we all basically share the same kind of common things that we go through because we all have the same equipment. You know what I mean? We all have the same equipment, so we all kind of go through the same issues.
Right.
But
yeah.
It gets
a little bit extra.
And it gets a little bit extra special when on the screen someone looks like me and saying the same things that I usually think and feel. And it's like, oh, my God, this is fantastic.
Right.
So
right.
I thank you. First of all, I thank you for doing it. Thank you so much for doing it.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad that you definitely, and that's the main reason why I wanted to, I mean, me, you know, like I said, through my acting experience and over the years, you know, you just, and just in general, there, I just don't feel that there's enough good, you know, roles for black women, you know, because, of course, I am. That's what I am. I'm a black woman in this industry, and I just cannot sit back and wait for anybody to create the parts that I want to play. Because I know me, I know my talent. And I know what's missing. Like, when you look at TV, you like, it, you know, the stuff that they put out there, it's a lot of reality show. I mean, that is kind of like my guilty pleasure. I do like to watch some reality shows. But some of it's just like, there's so much more to us than just that. You know, we're more than just these angry, fighting, fussing with each other. I mean, you know, I'm a goofy person in real life. I'm a goofy, silly person. I like to have fun, and that's just my natural personality. That's why I had to, you know, write this film. And I want to write films that reflect, you know, the funny side of us. Like, we're funny, we're loving, we have, you know, it's just, and I don't see enough of that out there. So I said, I have to create the opportunities. I have to create my destiny. And that's just what I did, you know, because at this time, I'm tired of sitting around waiting and, you know, the whole auditioning process. I mean, it's, you know, it's a necessary evil, like I like to kind of say, but at this point in my life, after, you know, going through that process for so long, at this point, I'm like, okay, now I need to, it's time for me to take charge, and it's time for me to create the projects that I want to see, and I know other women, not just black women, but women in general want to see. From a real perspective. So that's why this movie is very, it kind of pushes the envelope, and it's not your, you know, it's kind of raunchy to some extent, but that's kind of like my personality. I keep it very honest, and it's every woman to some extent can relate to this. So that's why I wanted to, you know, write this piece and future projects that relate to women that are very real and open and honest and funny.
But you know what, and even though it, I guess for some people, because I guess that's part of my personality too, I like to be very honest and open, because if you can't be very honest and open about what you're thinking and how you feel, then what's the point? And it's really not, because you know there's some really raunchy, I know that's your guilty pleasure, but some of the stuff that they have on some of these reality shows, now that stuff, I'm not going to call it what I think it is, but that stuff to me is raunchy and some of it is not realistic. You know what I mean?
It's not.
So, but
and it's
what?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always the truth. I mean, listen, like you said, we're not always
exaggerating
running around here, the angry
course,
black woman. That's like, come on.
And it's just like, come on now. Like, we, you know, it's like, you know, I, some shows I just cannot, you know, I'm not going to say the names, but, like, we're constantly fighting over these corny dudes. Like, are you serious? Like, really? It's like, why are you showing these women just going at each other over these cornball guys? Like, really? So it's just, it's like, you know what, we, you know, there's so many other sides of us. There's intelligent, you know, ambitious, funny, you know, women who have their stuff together and who are just not on that level of just pettiness. You know what I mean? So that's why I said
definitely.
I need to make sure I put out a different side of, I represent a class of women who are just not, you know what I mean? We just said a genre that's not into all that. And
exactly.
I have a lot of friends who are just not like, okay, this is every black woman is not over here fighting about, you know, some raggedy dude. You know what? I'm going to keep it clean because I'm on the radio, so I don't know what I can say, what I can't say. But anywho, so, yeah, so that's the whole point of me. At a certain point in your life, you have to, if I really want to do this, I said, well, why not me and why not now? And this is, you know, when God tells you you have a talent and you have a calling and a passion, it's like when you wake up, it's constantly on your mind. It's like, okay, I have to do something about this. So I said, if I don't try it, then I'm always going to regret not, you know, putting forth that effort. I don't want to look back 20 years from now saying I coulda, woulda, shoulda. So
right.
That's why I said I have to. And you know what? And the main thing too is it's not just about me. It's just I surrounded myself with people who are driven. Tim Fontaine, he's like my brother. He's a director, and we worked on Split Second together. And I came up with, you know, the idea and for the movie. And at first, initially, was just like, oh, just putting together pieces for an acting reel. And I kind of got the idea. It was going to first be like a short film, and then it kind of took a life of its own, and we just built on it and just kind of came out to what it is. And he was just like, well, come on, he's like, let's go. Like, he pushes me. And that's what you need. You need somebody in your circle who believes in your talent and has your back, and you have to surround yourself with people who are visionaries and creators. So having that foundation around you is very important as well, because I can't take all the credit for, you know, doing this on my own. I the other actors, the crew, everybody, we all came together to make this project what it is. So, kudos to my cast and the director for, you know, I had this crazy vision of this movie, and they believed in me. They were like, let's go, let's do it. And they loved it. So I'm like, okay, cool, let's go. You know, so here we are.
And you do. You need that support system. So now, even before you even got to this movie, I mean, you went to school, you got your background in communication. Did you always know that you wanted to be, on stage and being the actress, or is it something that you kind of just fell into?
Okay, I'm sorry. Repeat the question. I had a person walking by me. I'm sorry. Say it again.
Oh, no problem. In a nutshell, did you always know that you wanted to be this superstar that you are, or did you just happen to fall into it?
I mean, not to be like arrogant or anything like that, but I always knew that there was a higher purpose for my life, and you have to see it for years. Even like growing up, there's like, you know, my mom and dad can tell you. My dad got a video camera, and I was always in front of the camera. Just I always wanted to kind of do something, you know, in front of the camera. That was just kind of a natural, fun thing for me. So, you know, as a kid, you grow up, you always play around with dolls and acting and stuff. But at some point, as you know, sometimes when you grow up, you're like, okay, I got to go to school. I got to get a real job. I got bills. But then as you start to get into that reality, I guess, some people, you know, then it's just like, this is not it for me. This is, and when I started, you know, because I have a background in sales and marketing, of course, I have to pay bills and I have a mortgage and things of that sort. But I was like, this is not, you know, when you have that passion, it's like constantly in the back of your mind. And I said, this is not it for me. There's something else out here, and I have to go after it. So, yeah, I kind of always felt that there was a calling, that passion that burned inside of me, I have to you know, I just could not put it away and just have a regular 9-to-5 type of job. It's just not in my, you know, I mean, that's just not, you know, what I was born to do. So, yeah, the answer to your question was like, yeah, I know that there is, you know, I guess another purpose for my life. And I know that it's a journey, of course. It's not going to happen overnight, but as long as you're working in that direction and you're following your dream, then, you know, anything is possible. So when you have that feeling in you, that to me is like that's God telling you, like, this is what, you know, I blessed you with this talent to act, write, paint, whatever it is. You need to use it, you know, kind of like use it or lose it. So
right.
A lot of it, overcoming that fear. Like a lot of people, everybody has some sort of talent, whatever it is. And you have to tap into it and not let people discourage you from following your dream and your passion. So,
but you know, that is so easy to happen because, I mean, look at you. You're from here, and then after you finish school, you know, you start working and everything else, but then you make the move to decide to move out of the city and, you know, pursue your dreams. But it is so easy for us to get caught up with people and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they mean, sometimes people mean well and sometimes people are just straight out mean. And
that's
what it is, what it is. But to get through that, because a lot of people are stalled in their dreams and their passions because they stop at the door for the person that says, well, why are you going to move down there? Why are you going to do this? Why are you going to do that? You should
right.
move. You don't have no money to move to D.C. So
right.
with you making your first move, how did you get past that?
Well, it was kind of like I didn't care what nobody told me at that point. Like when I graduated from Temple, I was working at the University of Penn Medical Center, like with my mom. She was like a nurse there. And, you know, I had an administrative job and, you know, it was, you know, a good paying job. But it was kind of like, all right, I'm ready to, after I'm done school, either move to New York or move to D.C. And at the time I was like, well, I can't afford New York. It's, you know, New York is pretty expensive, which is kind of like, I look back, I'm like, well, maybe I should have moved because New York is like the mecca of acting. But at that time I was still kind of, I didn't know where I wanted to go. So I had a friend of mine that lived like in the Baltimore area. I would come down and visit her, and he told me how D.C. was, you know, a thriving place for opportunities for, you know, professional black folks. And I was like, okay, I'm going down here. Because I wanted to always go to Howard University, but mom was like, I'm not paying for you to go out of state. So I was like, well, once I finished Temple, I was like, well, I'm going to D.C. anyway. Man, what? So I was just like, I was determined. I've always been that kind of like independent, responsible person. And once I kind of set my mind to doing something, I'm like, I'm doing it. So, like, really, like my family, they were kind of like, because I decided to find a job, find an apartment. I got a new car within like a month's time. And I was like, all right, I'm out. I'm moving to D.C. And they were like, what? I'm like, no, I found a job, I found a car, and a place to live, and I'm leaving. And it was like, okay. I mean, there was nothing that anybody could tell me that, because at that point I was like, I need to venture out. I need to go off on my own. It was like a lot of things going on personally in my life. And I was like, you know what? I need to get away. I need to start fresh, and I need to go. And, you know, when you have that in you, sometimes you just have to just do it and just go for it and just say whatever happens, happens. So, yeah, you're going to have people in your life that's going to be negative or you know, they kind of say, oh, I'm looking out for you. But, you know, I'm like, you know what, I'll be okay. I'm good. I'll be fine. And a lot of times they, you know, they're trying to protect you, but really you're holding me back. So you have to, if you have a dream or you have something and you have to, and if sometimes the journey is not a straight path. Sometimes it's like, because initially when I moved down to D.C., I, you know, got a job and I was working, but I started taking classes in the evening after work and started going to auditions. I started, you know, meeting up and networking with people. So, I mean, I've been doing this for a very, like, pre-Facebook, Instagram. I've been doing this for since 2002. So I've been building up my craft, you know, for a very long time. And then eventually, I mean, I did take a break. So I have a daughter. So I took some time to, you know, be mommy. And then so I kind of took a break from it for a little bit. But then, you know, like I said, when that passion is there, it's like, okay, time to get the, you know, daughter, she's kind of up and mobile. So now I can get back into you know, what I really want to do. So, you know, your life is not going to be a straight shot sometimes. You have to kind of find ways to still do your craft and your passion, but fun in another, you know, in a different way. So that's why, you know, some people were like, why didn't you, you know, move to New York or go to California? I said, well, at that time, you know, I had my daughter here, and it just at this time it's not, you know, I didn't want to just up and just take her with me, you know, because, you know, her father's here, and I didn't want to pull her away from that. So, but now it's like I have connections in Philadelphia where I'm from, and then working with Tim, and he was doing some, you know, production work. I said, well, you know, I'll go back and forth to Philly all the time, so let's go ahead and make some things happen. And then we started on Split Second, and then everything just kind of went from there. So pretty much like here I am. And now, like I said, with the internet, you can start a web series or a film and, you know, put it online, and you could be anywhere. It doesn't matter. You don't have to necessarily be in L.A. or New York. You can, you know, start where you are. And that's why I tell people, just start where you are. You know what I mean? You don't have to, you know, just start where you are. You know, you don't have to, if you can't move to those areas just yet, start where you are. Start going to local, you know, acting classes, community theater, and you start networking and start, like I said, writing your own projects. And then whatever happens from there will happen. But you got to start where you are. So that was a long answer.
And No, that's a perfect answer, because actually as you were going on, we had a couple of people who were messaging us on Facebook. Tell you, I love this whole, because I love it. I absolutely love it. People say, well, Rick, how you do all of that? Because it's fun. And like you said, you got to be able to do and be all over the place. And for those of you who are just tuning in, who are just calling in, and folks who are tuning in online, welcome. This is Hannah Footprints. I'm Ricky Jones. Could have been anywhere. You're here with me, and I appreciate it. We're on air with our legacy builder, Miss Tiffany Yancey, and she's talking about, hey, how do you be everything to yourself and your craft and everything else? So now, the message, the question that came offline, so now before I do that, guys, don't forget to call in 347-826-9723. Press the number 1. If you are listening online on the internet, you can hit me up if you have a question on my Facebook page, which is Hannah Footprints. Those of you who are directly connected to me on Ricky Jones, you can also send me a message that way as well. So now here's the question. Tiff, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So the question was, you know, being a mother, being a mother, how did you, or how are you able to balance having what you want to do with your career and taking care of your daughter? Was that always easy, or did you find it difficult? Did you have support? So basically, it's about that balancing act that we so do often. How did you handle
right.
that? And that was from one of our messengers on Facebook.
Okay. Well, the main thing is I'm blessed to have a wonderful support system. And even though my daughter's father and I were not together, but we work together, we co-parent. And I only have one child, so that kind of helps, you know. So it's, you know, she's at this point, she's 8, so she's a little, you know, she's up, and she's trying to be running my household sometimes. But the thing is, you have to, and his mother is, she lives in the area as well. So I have a shout out to, you know, her father, you know, and her grandma, Susan Smith, and everybody else that really, they know what I'm doing, and they know that I'm trying to pursue things. And there's times if I need, you know, someone to watch her, or we work out our schedule, that's what you have to do. And you know, sometimes you do have to sacrifice, because my main job, number one, is a mom. You know, I want to make sure that my daughter she's my first priority, and that's like the most important job out of everything else I do is her. So that's why when I first had my daughter, I kind of stepped back and focused in on her needs, and because I want to make sure that, you know, being a mom was top priority. But once I kind of, you know, when she started getting back into school and, you know, things of that sort, that's when I was just kind of, you know, you have to just do what you can when you can do it. You know, if you have a weekend off, if you have a day off here or if you have a class that you want to go to, this you know, try to work around that schedule. But, you know, don't stop and don't let that stop you. There's a lot of people who are actors, writers, but, you know, they still have a family. They still, just like with any other job that you're doing, you have to go to work and you sometimes got to get a babysitter. So whatever you have to do, just make it happen and try to develop a really good support system, the people that support your dream. And that's, you know, so that's why I said it's important to do that. But it's a balancing act, and sometimes it's not always easy. And that's why I said at this point, me writing and producing my own projects is easier to some extent than me just going off to, you know, New York or L.A. Because, you know, when you're doing that, you have to go on auditions. And, you know, that is very, having a child is very, it's hard to do something like that. So this way, doing, you know, this taking control over producing and writing allows me to, you know, be here with my daughter. And if I have to go and do things, of course, I can bring her along with me. Or a lot of times she's involved in the project. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, mommy needs you to play this role real quick. You know what I mean? So if she's involved and she thought of what I was, she's been to my place. She knows that mommy acts and does different things. So now she's kind of got the acting bug. So I've gotten her into it. But she was actually in the ID channel with me. She played one of the kids in the show. So if you can kind of incorporate your kids, that that's what she wants to do. I never, like, pushed her into it, but after a while, she's like, Mommy, I want to do something too. So eventually I kind of just got her into some projects here and there. But, it's a balancing act, and you just have to have a work it around your schedule. But as long as her needs are taken care of, then I can kind of, you know, do other things as well. But don't, you know, having children should not deter you from, you know, pursuing your dreams. Just got to find another way around it. That's all.
Definitely. Now, our next question, I tell you, Facebook is hot today. Folks are popping in, and I'm so glad you guys are popping in, because sometimes it works either way. Sometimes we get a lot of our guests who are listening online, and they'll call in, you know, they'll press the number one and ask the question, or sometimes we'll get people from Facebook. But Facebook is popping today. So the next question is, I have an aspiring actress, and she says, your first time on film, when you did the Discovery show, when you were doing the Discovery show, what was that like?
Well, that wasn't really like my first time on film, because I've done industrials and independent projects like years prior, so I've had lots of on-camera, you know, experience, and that's why I tell anybody, just get involved in, you know, if you're in the D.C. area, Dragonknot Connects is a online kind of like a network for actors, writers, anything in the entertainment industry in the D.C. area. There's auditions, you know, if they need extras or people who do independent work, go on there and just go out and audition and build up your resume. And a lot of times you're not going to be paid for. Don't think that you're going to get in this and just automatically you're going to be paid. No, you have to pay your dues. Like I said, at this point, I'm still not getting paid. You know, I'm putting money out into my project. But I know eventually the money will come. If you're following your passion, the money will come eventually. But you have to build up your experience. But doing the ID channel was kind of like one of the most, like one of those roles where it's like, okay, yes, finally it's a challenging role where I can really sink my teeth into. And the story behind it was just the main, you know, the real woman, and real, you know, based off of a real woman's experience, was like, wow, okay, I have to go in and do this lady justice, because she literally like went through hell. And doing that, you have to really, that's from all the years of me acting and taking classes and doing other, that prepared me for this thing that came along. So it's like when you say that, like, God will bring the opportunity to you when he feels that you're ready. And so when that came along, it was just like, it was like God sent, because it just kind of like came out of nowhere to some extent. Really, I mean, how it happened was my daughter was on a previous episode with Sirens Media. And I told the producer, I said, well, you know, I'm an actress as well. If you need anything, you know, here's my information. A year later, she hits me up and said, hey, we have this ID channel. We need somebody to play the main character. Can you come audition? So I was like, oh, okay, well. So when I came in and auditioned, he told me about it, and I was like, well, this is major. So It was. I mean, the show itself and the character role was. It was very tough because this lady, she was boxed in a garage for 6 months. You know, she was raped. She was beaten, and it was a 5-day shoot. It was, you know, pretty long and strenuous. I had to cry, and you know, I had to really get into that character. So, but I loved it because it challenged me. And it pushed me to go and put myself in her shoes and put myself in that. What was she going through? And that's what you do as an actress. You have to put yourself in that person's shoes and feel what they were feeling at that time. And don't be afraid to, you know, let it at the very end. Like, I'm really crying. Like, when the guy lifts up the garage and you know, you see my face, like, those are real tears. So you have to be willing to go there and not be afraid to, you know, look ugly. It's not always cute and glamorous. It all depends on what you're like. I don't mind getting ugly, hair's not done, no makeup, because that's a lot of times that's not the real character. You want to be the character.
Right.
She's locked in the garage, like she was looking, you know, a mess. So I wanted to make sure,
right,
I looked a mess too. So that's just what it is. So. But it was a great experience. It was really a wonderful experience, and kudos to Miss Laura Cohen. That she, you know, she's a friend of mine on Facebook now, and she just knowing that when she saw it and she gave me, you know, props for, you know, playing the role, and I was like, oh wow, you know, and it was like, wow, you know, I did you justice, you know, playing you, and she said I did a great job, so that made me feel wonderful for doing that. Those are the type of roles I want to play. These are women who've been through, you know, traumatic experiences, or just, you know, not everything is not, you know, I do comedy as well, but I can also do drama. And I just want to tell stories of women, you know, that need to be told. You know, there's a lot of times we are overlooked and they feel like our stories aren't as important, but it's not true. There, we have a lot of different things that go on that need to be addressed and put out there. So these are the type of projects that I want to create. And because if nobody else is going to do it, then I'm like, well, I need to do it then.
That's right. We all have a voice, and sometimes our voice is not as powerful as it should be, and somebody needs to be that catalyst. That's why
exactly.
I love doing Hannah Footprints, to have people on like you who are doing that, being that voice for the voiceless. That's what I always say, being that voice for the voiceless. So now with mm-hmm. your, because you know we got to talk about the movie. Girl, we got to talk about the movie. But, I mean, just this whole you wanting to have that desire, and that's great that you recognize having that desire to tell the story about for someone else, you know what I mean? And being that voice for those of us, because like you said, when I turn on the TV, you know, those of us who are over 40, 35, mm-hmm. well, 36 and over, I should say, we are, you know, mm-hmm. we all grew up on a time where there was a lot of us on TV, and we were able to see us on TV and kind of like, you know, even though there was an argument of, oh, that's not necessarily real, but in some of our lives, some of it was definitely real, and it was a voice, I mean, you know, and it gave us inspiration. But
mm-hmm.
as women, you know, in this age of love and hip hop and just everything else that's out here, and the stories that are coming out, you know, both
mm-hmm.
in the States and across the seas, there still is not that much for a voice for us. And
right.
when you get into this, when you started getting into this whole giving the voice to it, did you plan on it being your main goal of what you wanted to do, was just to give the voice to the people?
Initially, I just wanted to be an actress. And I
right.
love being on stage. I love performing and playing, you know, different, you know, characters. And, you know, I'm a black woman. That's just what it is. So, of course, you know, I want to be able to, you know, represent, you know, black women in different lights. And, it's kind of like initially, like when I started, I didn't really think about writing and, you know, or creating my own projects. I mean, of course, you always have the ideas, and I used to always joke around, like my sister, you know, we're very, you know, she's kind of like my comedy consultant to some extent. Like we're very goofy, And I always said to her, I said, you know what, we want to be the female version of the Wayans one day. And she was like, laughing, like, no, serious. Like, for, like, because, like, my household, I mean, growing up, I had a very, we were kind of like, I guess you could say, like the Brooke Huxtables to some extent. I had a very, you know, middle class upbringing, and right outside of Philadelphia, the burbs. So, like, my, you know, growing up was, we had fun, we goofed around, we would joke, like, we, and I had a very loving, fun childhood. And I wanted to, as I got older and started, you know, I wanted to act, I kind of, like, see, like I said, this niche that's not really out here on TV. Like I said, we're in the age of, like I said, when we were growing up, you saw the Huxtables on TV. You saw, like, Different World and Living Color and all these different shows that I grew up watching. And it's just like, okay, now I'm at the age where we need that again. We really need to get back to those types of shows. So initially, I was just like, I just want to act. My only thing was, I just want to act, and I want to be able to make enough money where I can pay my bills. I don't have to live this, you know, lavish life, and I just want to be able to take care of my mortgage and take care of my daughter and do what I love to do. And that was it. That was like my goal, to be a working actor. But as things go on and you transition and opportunities and you meet people, it's kind of like this whole writing thing, it was kind of like, you know, I thought about it, but then, like, Tim really pushed me. He was just like, when I told him, I was like, well, I had this idea for this movie, and I told him about the concept. He was like, yo, that's funny. He's like, well, write it. He's like, write it, and we'll do it. And I'm like, really? He's like, no, go ahead. You know, he's like, do it. You know, so I love him because he pushed me. He's like, you know, just come on, do it. You know, so that's what sometimes you need, that little kick in the butt. You need somebody that believes in your talent and says, yo, you need to just go and get it done. You know, you might have some people that are like, why you want to do that? But no, then you have some. You need people in your circle who want to push you to the next level and challenge you because they believe in your talent. So he pushed me to write it, and I said, well, that's what I'm going to do. So that's where I kind of developed, and we worked on the script, and it kind of, like I said, a learning experience in itself, and we kind of just, like, you know, went from there.
Well, so, definitely. Hello? Yeah, we have a caller. Oh,
yeah,
I hear you perfectly.
Okay,
we have a caller.
I thought I got disconnected, so okay.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. How are you?
Well, I see you catching glowworms this morning. And that's hard to do. You know what I mean? A glowworm out there out in the woods in the country, you know, got that little green hue. And, of course, they grow up to be lightning bugs, and that's what you guys are being. And y'all showing a great light on Internet radio today. Miss Yancey, nice to hear you on the radio. I'm very, very proud of what you're doing. And like you said, you just want to be comfortable. You know, a lot of times, you know, all this fame and glory sometimes comes with a price. So you just want to be comfortable. You want to be, you know, be able to raise your daughter in peace and have a surroundings where you don't have to worry about going outside getting shot. Good morning, Halcyon, to you, Ms. Jones.
Good morning, Brother O. How are you, Halcyon, unto you?
First of all, I want to say, you know, it's funny she brought up a good point about, you know, role models and good TV shows. And it seemed like, you know, the society or the whatever you want to call it that be are just putting out garbage for our kids to consume. And that's what's happening now, okay? Last night, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but Ricky knows I had a show on Blog Talk. It's called The Legendary Merc City, and it's a hip-hop show. And last night, what I do is I try to be – well, not try to be, I am. I'm a hip-hop historian. So I try to show the world that the garbage that you're playing – how you doing now? And the garbage that's going on, it is more to hip hop than what you hear now. They're more than the Fetty Wops and all the, you know, not to knock anybody, but you know, we got to teach even us. And I can say I'm a mid 40 something person. You know what I mean? I'm just so fabulous, but it's okay. Even the people in our generation forgot how great hip hop was.
And we
came up in the golden era. Not, you know,
right.
This is what legacy building is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Ricky, thank you for allowing me to come on because Merc City is my mission. You know, I produce shows on Blog Talk all the time, you know, and I'm not going there because I'm not doing that on Ricky's show. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, Merc City is what she does with Hands and Footprints. It's where I get my most joy. It's where I'm able to bring on people who even last night we were privileged to have Tone Love from Tough Crew. And it's just having a golden era hip hop star come on and talk about how things have changed and how good, how you know, said, man, you know, you sound great, man. And this is going all over internationally, just like this show here, this great Hands and Footprints, Where's Your Legacy show, by one of the greatest interviewers I know. Ricky Jones could interview Queen Elizabeth and have her raise her eyebrow like, that's how good she is. And so for her to have you on the program, and she always has great people on her program. And trust me, you know, Tiffany Yancey is no different. She's a great person as well. And like I said, I love to hear good people, good solid people love what they do. So, Ricky Jones, I can talk a country mile and then around a country corner. I'm not going to do that. But like I said, you know, it just hit me, you know, like not almost a mid, I call it semi epiphany. Like Merc City for me is what Ricky Jones does for Hands and Footprints. So on that note, I must say to you, both of you, halcyon upon your lives today. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'm out. Pew.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So now talking about that person who pushes you. Now that's the other half of how I even got into doing this Blog Talk. We had our show together, and that's how we started. And when we first started, like I said, I was in the background. I kind of like, yeah, this wasn't necessarily my mission, my muse, my thing to do. But like you said earlier, having that support system to push you and to push you, and he always said, listen, you got a voice for radio. And I'm like, what, my face is messed up? Because you know they say you got a voice for radio, face is messed up. He's like, nah, I'm not saying that. It's so crazy. But you can do this, you know, you get out there and you do it. And and it's funny because it brings up a point of, like you said, finding, you know, you wanted to start off with just being a working actress, and that's how it was. I wanted just to start off being the sidekick and being happy. But then as you develop and you start to see what's out there and what's missing, you say to yourself, I can do this. And I think it starts to, when you start owning it, it's like, oh, I can own this. This is mine. And then now what? You say, I can do what with this? So now you've written this piece that really is funny, but it's so true to life because you do. You go through these in these relationships and you do want something. You know, you're the working woman and you're also the single woman and you have, you know, It's just because I don't want to tell all the movie because I told you, I enjoyed it. The first night I saw it, I had such a wonderful time seeing it. But here you've written this piece that is so true to life, and it really is to me, like when I do this show, to be able to hear what other people are doing, it really is, sometimes you got to get, oh my gosh, like, wow. Do you now, you know, since you've written it and now it's on the screen, have you had that, oh my God, wow moment?
Oh, yeah. I had a few of those just when we were, you know, put the words down on paper and then, you know, you write stuff. And then, like I said, you know, I have a crazy sense of humor and, you know, like I said, some of the stuff that comes out. But I have to be honest and true to who I am. And I'm very, like I said, you know, a lot of stuff in the script is very blunt and upfront and kind of pushes the envelope. But that's in my personality. I say what I feel. And sometimes it can be kind of, you know my personality. I'm a funny person, so I'm going to say it, and it might take you for off guard a little bit, but, you know, just take it for what it is. So, but, yeah, when we were starting to film the scenes and we were shooting, and like I said, this is like a 2 years in the making. So doing the scenes and you know, as the characters were starting to build and we're doing it and Sims putting it together, and it was like, it's your baby. It's like you're giving birth again. So you're like, oh, my God, my baby is coming to life. And then finally, when we had the premiere and just getting other people's reaction to it, because even the other cast members didn't even see it. They didn't see the final product. So I think it was just me, Tim, and, you know, Zenobia, his wife. She's kind of like the – she had a small scene in there as well, but she was helping out behind the scenes. So, you know, we were looking at it from like, okay, this needs to be fixed. We need to, you know, do an editing and blah, 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 blah. But when we sat down and watched it from an audience's point of view and then watched it with everybody else, because, you know, for years you're talking about this movie, you know, people are like, oh, okay, yeah, you're working, blah, 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 you're working on a movie, Then when you finally get it out there, then you're like, wow. And then getting people's reaction and hearing people laugh, it's just like, it was just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. So I've had, you know, plenty of like aha moments, and I plan to have a lot more. I mean, I do believe this is just the beginning of what's to come. So even at that time at the premiere, you know, they were asking like, you know, was I nervous? And I was like, nah, really, I'm just excited. I'm just, because I already, you know, in my head, I'm envisioning, you know, light years ahead of what's going to come. So I already knew this day was coming, so I was prepared. So it was kind of like a weird sense of calm and like, nah, I'm just ready. I'm ready for y'all to see this. And I know, it's, you know, I was confident in the movie and, you know, Tim and everybody else was confident. So it was just like, I'm ready for y'all to see it and laugh your butts off. So
So let's tell them what, without giving it all away, because we definitely want people to go and see it. So, because listen, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not even going to say nothing. All I'm going to say is for you all who are listening online and on the phone, when it comes to your area, those of you who are in it, like I said, if you're not in the D.C. area, get in your car, hop the train, hop the bus, you know, because sometimes if you can run to New York to go to Broadway sometime and see other people, you can run someplace else to see your own.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go and have a nice date night for those of you who want to get away from the kids for a little bit, or
right,
a girls' night out. Y'all want to go someplace, y'all can go to the movie and then go hang out and laugh and drink and talk about it. But this is definitely something that you want to do. So now, Tiff, tell them about, you know, as much as you can, just tell them about the movie Love Him or Leave Him.
Well, essentially, Love Him or Leave Him is just, like I said, about my character, Camille Stern. She's, you know, just like any, you know, regular woman out here, you know, working, ambitious, trying to start her own business, got things going. But she's, of course, she, you know, wants love in her life. She wants a partner. And, you know, you go through these typical, you know, dating things. And she's had some past heartbreaks and, you know, things that happened to her, you know, going through her stages. And she kind of reflects on the different issues that she dealt with, these kind of guys that were just, you know, keep it PG, they were jerks. And she's like, why I keep getting attached to these clowns? Like, what is going on? And she kind of does some research, and she finds out that, you know, with women, we just aren't built to have numerous partners without getting attached, you know, because we're genetically made up. We have hormones in us, that oxytocin, that kind of, when we have experiences, that we get attached to men. And it's like sometimes, and that's why, especially when it's good, we kind of like latch on and we don't want to let go, and we start to act kind of, what, you know, crazy. So she has these moments and she realizes, okay, I cannot continue to have the same pattern. I'm gonna put the kitty on hold, and I'm gonna focus on me and, you know, try to find somebody that I really like without, you know, the sex getting in the way. So she, you know, meets a nice guy, and this is now, you know, whatever. He has everything going for him, and like I said, I don't want to give things away, but they just aren't compatible when it comes to the physical aspect. So, you know, he's lacking in some areas. So she's kind of like, all righty, what do I do? Because this is the perfect guy on paper, but then when it comes to that, it's like, no. So now that's where the concept of Love Him or Leave Him comes in, because it's like with any, you know, men can relate to this too. When you meet somebody, you're like, oh, wow, she's great, blah, blah, blah. Then, you know, when it's time to get physically intimate and things just don't quite, you know, it's not what you expected, then you're really, really, really disappointed. And you're like, what do I do? So this kind of goes on this woman's journey of finding that guy and then encountering this dilemma and trying to figure a way to deal with it. So that's essentially the, you know, the part of the movie. And it's just like, you know, with any dating, she's, you know, a professional woman, but she's, you know, she's
you know, she's in her 30s now. She learned what she, you know, kind of learned from her past mistakes in her 20s. But now she's a woman who's, you know, she's not afraid to go and, you know, she knows what she wants. And if she wants to be intimate with a guy, then she will. But she realized that's not really getting her anywhere. So she has to kind of really focus in and kind of focus on the other side of not just the physical. So that's kind of essentially the main, I didn't want to give too much away, but that's the main gist of the movie. But it's a lot of funny, you know, real moments in there that a lot of women can relate to when you, you know, you meet these guys and you're like, oh, okay, you know, there's a lot of false advertising going on. Like you said, you can do certain things and then come down to it like, oh, nah, brother, you misrepresenting yourself. So it's just, that's one of those type of those films. I want to kind of tell it from, like I said, a female's point of view, because I don't really, I don't know any other films or you know, shows that kind of really put that side out there. So
no, they don't. And if they do, they really don't give it the justice that it deserves. Like, we have our moments where we talk to our girlfriends, and we had, like, the scene that you have at the house and all the girlfriends
yeah.
are talking,
mm-hmm.
and it's real conversation. Like, it's
right.
the things that we really say, because in our women's circle, we have the one who is the prude, we have the mm-hmm. one who's a little bit out there, we have the freak, and then we have mm-hmm. the one who just wants to love somebody and love, you know, have them to love them back. And
right.
it's funny because we do. Sometimes it's all one person, but sometimes
mm-hmm.
we definitely have those types of women in our group. And to have that being portrayed in its true sense of the word, I thank you so much for doing that. Because you do. I can't think. Listen, I have girlfriends. We've been friends for umpteen years. And it, when we get together, it's always the laugh loud session, but it's always something serious as well.
Right.
I mean, we go
yes.
through it all. And the fact
right.
that we're
yes.
open.
And I want to kind of do, and it's like, you know, when you have some of these movies that's been out, it's always like we're always angry about something. A man hurt us, blah, 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 you know. And it's just like, no, let's do a flip side to that. You know, we have fun, you know, moments. We do talk about men, and we talk about sex. You know, we are grown women. Yes, we have sex, you know, and we're not ashamed. You know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just real life. But you have to kind of juggle, you know, my character's juggling between, you know, she doesn't want to be seen as easy because she's a very, you know, she's conservative and she doesn't want to be seen as like a, you know, a spot, you know, so she kind of wants to wait
exactly.
a little bit and get to know the guy. But then she's like, okay, you juggle with, okay, well, how long should I wait? And then, you know, well, this is a good moment and I don't, you know, so you cut all these things when you're dating. This is all, we all have those moments. And you talk to your friends about it, and they give their advice. And so this is all stuff I really, yeah, I wanted to be as real as possible because it's real life. We talk about it. And it's just like, look, let's put it out there. And this is just a different side of us. You know, we have funny, you know, moments, and we laugh and joke, and we talk about guys and their inadequacies and stuff like that. So, you know, guys, a lot of men don't know we talk about them, but, yes, we do. We talk about y'all.
And, listen, they talk about us, too.
Yeah, they
got. I've always. I'm a firm believer in men, and just like that, there was a scene in there where one of the gentlemen and the other gentleman, they basically said, "Listen, guys talk just as much as girls do."
Right.
And
yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
really?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Like, how you think I know? Like, how you think I knew? I knew before you did. Like,
right.
And really,
we talk, you know, to each other about these things. So. It's just real life, so why not put something, you know, together that represents that everybody can relate to? And that's what it is. All the stuff I want to, you know, I put out and that I write, I want to relate to somebody. You know, everybody knows somebody. If it's not, if it's relate to you, it knows relate to somebody in your life. So
definitely, definitely. So now that it's out, how can people go and see it? Now, those who were in Philadelphia, y'all missed it. I'm gonna tell you, y'all missed it. Y'all slept on that one. You're going to have to figure it out. But for the I know that's terrible. Wasn't that terrible? But for the rest of us who are out there, how can we go and see it? Where are you?
Well,
what are you doing?
They
tell
can
us everything.
Come down. Huh?
I said, tell us everything.
Oh, okay. Well, they can come. Like I said, well, the next premiere is set for September 3rd, the Thursday. At the Magic Johnson Theater in Largo, Maryland, at the Capitol Boulevard Center. You can go on to www.loveheimorleavehimthemovie.com. They can go online and get your tickets. It's limited seating, so get your tickets now because I'm hoping that it will sell out. But so that's the next showing that's coming up. And like I said, just make it a girls' night. Bring your guy friends. Bring whoever. And, just come out for a good night of fun, laughs. We're going to have a red carpet. So come out, look cute. We're going to have some pictures. And afterwards, we're going to have a little after party. So, yeah, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time and meet the cast members. And Satoria, she has a song on a soundtrack in the movie. So hopefully she might be able to do, like, a live performance or what have you. But it's a chance to come out and support independent film. I mean, it's so important now that we support independent projects because we don't have put it out in the universe, this will be picked up and to be put onto mainstream and things of that sort. But until then, we have to just do a grassroots and we all have to just come out and support independent projects. If you're tired of seeing what's on TV, then you have to support independent film because right now, Hollywood is they have their own perception of what should be put out onto TV. And that's why I'm so glad we have web series and the internet and other avenues to put out your projects. And I said, well, I'm going to go forth and have premieres. As long as I can kind of get things together, I'm going to have a premiere so people can come and see it. So, just come on out. Tickets are $20. Make it a night of fun. Bring your friends, whoever. It's an adult comedy, so don't be bringing no little kids. Or if you uptight and snooty and bougie, I'm just pre-warning you.
Don't bother.
Yeah,
and those of you who are uptight and snooty and bougie, go anyway because you're going to see yourself
right.
on the screen.
You're probably the main one.
You're going
to
see yourself on the screen. Because you're going to laugh.
You're definitely going to laugh. Get your hair down, okay? So have a good time and laugh. So it's I'm excited. So hopefully we'll get a lot of people coming out. But right now that is where they can come and see it. We're going to go from there. If I have another premiere somewhere else, we'll have to see, or we'll put it out there. Hopefully, God willing, it'll be picked up. Right now, I submitted to a couple film festivals, so hopefully it'll be, winning some awards. My crew, my cast, shout out to Tim Fontaine. I got to shout out my people, Tim Fontaine, Lania Love, Neil Carr, Carlo Campbell, Zenobia Fontaine, Chike Evans, Costello Perry, and everybody else I cannot take credit for it, doing this by myself. I had a great cast and crew who believed in this project and are, helping me along the way. So shout out to those wonderful people. I love them. We're like a family. And I want big things to happen. I mean, it's not just about me. It's about everybody. Like, I want them to go on. Hopefully this will kind of spur their careers into other things. So my main thing is just creating projects for, opportunities for other people. Just like I said, same aspect of what Tyler Perry's doing, I want to do the exact same thing and create opportunities for, for actors because it's just not enough of projects that represent us out here. So,
definitely.
I'm going to take that. I'm gonna try to take on the job as well as I can. So I'm going to need a couple of supporters.
You definitely, you're going to need the support. So now, don't worry about it. I know you all are asking, how can we get a hold of her? How is she going to put it? She's going to put the information about the premiere on the Hannah Footprints page, so don't worry about it. She's also getting ready to tell you guys how you can get a hold of her and where you can find her. So now that you'll have the information, there's no excuse. So now, Tiffany, tell them how they can get a hold of you, where they can find out information, all that good stuff.
Well, they can find out if I'm on Instagram, Tiffany_Yancey. Facebook, I'm Tiffany Yancey. They can shoot me an email at atyancey@icloud.com or info@tiffanyyancey.com. Or, like I said, simply just go onto the website, loveemorleavem.com, and if you want to sign up for the newsletter or if you want to contact, it'll send me an email. And that's essentially it. Like I said, just hit me up on Instagram or Facebook. And if you have any questions, I'm always I always try to anything I can do to give back and inspire other people. Then I just kind of feel it's my job and my duty to do. Because I did, you know, I'm always about, you know what you're going to learn is if you ask questions. So I've going through this process, I've asked plenty of questions, and that's the only way you're going to learn. And if any way I can, you know, inspire other people and give in my advice, you know, I can only share my experiences and, you know, I'm not where I want to be right now, but I'm working towards that. So at this point, it's just the rest is in God's hands. So yes, I'm just going to keep doing me and having fun while I'm doing it.
That's right. Well, I thank you for being on. I thank you for being a legacy builder. I thank you for closing out this month of legacy building. I truly appreciate it. I enjoyed the film. I know that you're definitely going to keep it going, and you're going to be out there. And I told people, get ready. I already have my autograph, so I'm good. So when I get ready to fly out to L.A. to go see her on stage, I can say, I remember, and I knew her when. So. I thank you so much for being on with me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you giving me the platform to, you know, speak about, you know, my dreams and my goals and to inspire others. And you keep, you know, thank you for, you know, having this type of platform that will inspire other people to pursue their dreams. So you keep doing what you're doing, sister. I commend you and I honor you as well.
Thank you. So thank you so much. Now, as always, guys, you know, you can find me. Yeah. You guys can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and there's one more. I have to always use my hands to run down all these medias. But anyway, if you have a comment or question, it is. If you have a comment or a question, or if you guys have someone that you think might be interested in becoming a guest, you can email me at themsrrikkijones@gmail.com. If you didn't get all that, that's all right. Ricky Jones is on Facebook and Instagram, Google+. Find me. Make sure that you keep in touch. Definitely check out the Hannah Footprints page because Tiffany's going to list all her good stuff and how to get connected with her. And, again, thank you so much, you guys. If it's not like breathing, don't do it. Have a fantastic weekend. Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday night on the 15-Minute Conundrum right here on Blog Talk Radio, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And next Saturday, we're going to kick off our next series because, you know, it's August. We got the kids getting ready to go back to school, you know, the whole changing the summer fashion into the winter fashion, all that kind of stuff. So the next few months, Tiff, are just really going to be off the chain because we're going to be talking about how you can get into that mode of doing you, boo. That's really the next 3 months is all about doing you. That's what I'm calling it, doing you, boo. That's the series. So we're going to have a lot of different people coming in and talking about what they're doing and how you can kind of get into doing your own kind of thing, too. So, again, like I said, thank you so much. Thank you for being an inspiration. We are out of here, people. We will see you. Have a great one. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.